نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله قد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر أمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. And alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, we seek His forgiveness and seek His assistance. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil in ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide him. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to be misguided, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship, other than Allah. He stands alone with no partners. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the slave servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and die not except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord, who has created you from a single soul, and created from him its mate, and scattered from them to many men and women. And fear Allah, for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, say that which is correct, and always speak the truth, so that Allah may accept from your good deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma baidu, searching the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion. For every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah. Every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. So in continuation from the class from last night, we go on to the chapter, making the house into a place for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of a home in which Allah is remembered and the example of a home in which Allah is not remembered is like comparing the living and the dead. One must make the house a place of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَإِنسَانَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me. So this can take several forms. Remembrance of the heart, remembrance of the tongue, prayer, reading of the Quran, memorizing religious knowledge, and reading its various books. How many homes of the Muslims today are dead because Allah is not remembered in them? How many of them fall under this hadith? So what is their condition if what is remembered in them are the melodies of Shaitan, like instruments and songs, backbiting, slander, and tale-carrying? What is their condition if they are full with sins and evil, like unlawful mixing, unveiling, between relatives who are not Muslim or with neighbors who enter their homes? How will the angels enter a home if it is like this? So bring to life your homes. May Allah have mercy upon you with the different forms of remembrance. So we should learn the prayer for entering the home. It is related from Imam Muslim in his Sahih that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a man enters his home and he remembers the name of Allah the Most High while entering, and also when he eats, Shaitan says, there is no place for you to spend the night here, and there is no food to eat here. If he enters his home and he does not remember the name of Allah while entering, Shaitan says, there is a place for you to spend the night. If he does not remember the name of Allah while eating, he says, there is a place for you to spend the night and to eat. So we should learn the du'as of entering and leaving the home. It is related from Abu Dawood in his Sunan that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, if a man leaves his home and says, Bismillah, tawakkal to Allah, wa la hawa la quwwata illa billah, in the name of Allah, I place my trust in Allah, and there is no might, no power except with Allah. It will be said to him, you are guided, defended, and protected. Shaitan will go away from him, and another shaitan will say to him, think, how can you deal with a man who has been guided, defended, and protected? Also, we should learn the du'as for entering the bathroom. You can say this du'a here, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min khabthi wa khaba'ih. Oh Allah, I take refuge with you from all evil and evildoers. And then when leaving the toilet, ghufranak, I ask you, Allah, for forgiveness. It is also related by Muslim in his Sahih from Aisha, radiallahu anha, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to start the sawak when he entered his home, meaning he cleaned his teeth. And this is something that is from the Sunnah that many of the people have left off. Also, another thing that we can do in our homes to keep the shaitan away is the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah. And there are many hadith to show this. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, do not turn your homes into graves as the shaitan flees from the homes where Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, recite Surah Al-Baqarah in your homes, as shaitan does not enter a home where Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. There is merit for reciting the last two ayat from the surah about the effects of its recitation of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, Allah the Most High wrote a book before he created the heavens and the earth by 2,000 years, and it is by the throne. He sent down from it two ayat to finish Surah Al-Baqarah with them. If they are recited in the bowl for three nights, then shaitan will not come near. And if you don't know how to recite Surah Al-Baqarah by the Arabic, you can even play a tape. So there are many ways that we can take advantage of this hadith from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another thing that we can do to reform our homes is to establish the Qibla. What is intended here is to make the house a place of worship. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yunus, ayat 87, and we inspired to Musa and his brother Harun, settle your people in Egypt in houses. Make your houses facing the Qibla, establish the prayer, and give glad tidings to the believers. Ibn Abbas said about this ayat, they were ordered to take them as masajid. Ibn Kathir said, it may be, and Allah knows best, that when the trials became severe for them from Pharaoh and his people who made things unbearable for them, they were ordered to increase upon their prayers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 45, and seek help through patience and prayer. And indeed it is difficult except those who are humbly submissive to Allah. So this shows the importance of worship in the home. It may occur at times when Muslims are not able to pray in front of the unbelievers, so they are forced to pray in their homes. The praying place of Miriam, which was a place of her worship, is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Imran, ayah 37. So your Lord accepted her with a goodly acceptance. He made her grow in a good manner and put her under the care of Zachariah. Every time Zachariah entered upon her in her prayer chamber, he found her with provision. So the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to be eager to pray in their homes. And this means the non-obligatory prayers, as this story shows, related from Mahmud bin al-Rabi and Ansari, who said, Atban bin Malik, radiallahu anhu, who was the companion of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was present at Badr from amongst the Ansar, came to the Messenger of Allah and said, O Messenger of Allah, I am blind, and I lead my people in prayer. However, when the rain floods the valley which is between me and them, I cannot go to that masjid and pray with them. I would like it if you, O Messenger of Allah, come with me and pray in my house so that I can take it as a place of prayer. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, I will do that, inshallah. Uthman said, so the Messenger of Allah came with Abu Bakr at the time when the rivers were overflowing. The Messenger of Allah saw permission to enter and it was given to him. He did not sit when he entered the house, but said, where would you like me to pray in your house? I indicated a place and the Messenger of Allah stood and said, Allahu Akbar. We stood and made a row. He prayed two rakat and then made taslim. Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, said regarding the benefits of this hadith, it shows that a specific spot may be taken for prayer in the house. As for what is forbidden for taking a specific place means in the masjid. Then it is shown by the hadith in Abu Dawud as there may be a threat of riyah. As for taking a place in the home for prayer, then that position does not apply here. That is, the rulings do not apply for it, even if it is given the name masjid. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the best prayer of the man is in his home, except the obligatory prayer. It is obligatory for the man to pray in the masjid, except if he has an excuse. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the voluntary prayer is better than the voluntary prayer with the people. It is like the obligatory prayer of the man in congregation being better than praying the obligatory by himself. As for the woman, the more concealed she is, the better it is for her. As the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the best prayer for the woman is in the most secluded part of her home. Meaning she should go way, 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 way away from everybody else. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, it is more excellent for the woman to pray in her home than in her courtyard, and it is more excellent for her to pray in her bedroom than anywhere in her home. And even if you go on Hajj, for the sisters, if you go on Hajj and you're in the hotel and the van is called, it is better for you to pray in the hotel than for you to go to the masjid and even pray in the haram. So the next chapter is teaching the family. It is the duty for the head of the home to discharge. This order is mentioned in the Noble Quran, as we talked about last night. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusikum wa ahlikum narun. O you who believe, save yourself from the fire. Save yourself and your families from the fire. This ayah is the main principle in teaching and educating the family, to order them with good and forbid them from evil. So you must pay attention to the interpreters of the Quran and what they have said about this ayat and what is obligatory upon the head of the household. Qatada said about this ayat, order them with the obedience to Allah and to forbid them from disobeying Him, to make them carry out the orders of Allah and to help them implement them. If I saw them disobey Allah, I will deter and prevent them from it. Another sheikh said about this, a duty for the Muslim is that he teaches his family, relatives, and the female servants what Allah has prescribed for them and what He has forbidden from them. Ali said, teach them and show them good manners. So the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to encourage the people to teach their female servants. So how about one's own children and family? Al-Bukhari said in his Sahih, chapter, men teaching their female servants and wives, then he brought this hadith. There will be two rewards, and a man who had a female servant and taught the best of the good manners and gave her the best education, then feed her and marry her, he would have two rewards. Ibn Hajar, Rahimahullah, explained the hadith by saying, the chapter heading corresponds to the hadith in regards to the female servants being mentioned. As for the wives, it is through analogy, because it is more important to teach the wives the duties prescribed by Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah than the female servants. Since men are extremely busy in their jobs and duties, they have little time to teach their families. In order to resolve this, he must set aside a day for his family, and this may also include his relatives, so that he can give knowledge in one city. He must be strict about their attendance. He should encourage them to come, and he must make them stick to this. Here's an account of what happened to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, said in chapter, Are the Women Given One Private Day for Knowledge? Then he brought this hadith from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. The women said to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the men have taken your time, so give us a day from yourself. So he promised them a day for a meeting to admonish and to order them. Ibn Hajar said, it occurs in the narration of Sah bin Abi Salah from his father, from Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhum, something similar to this account, but with the addition, your meeting place is in the house of so-and-so. So he came there and he talked to them. So we can take from this hadith that the women were taught in the homes, and the female companions were very keen to study and learn. To give all the attention to the men is a big mistake from the educators and the heads of the household. See, it's important that the women learn because they are the ones who spend most of the time with the children, and they are the ones who are going to teach them. So it is important to teach the women some of the rulings of Islamic law, such as like the laws of purification, menstruation, postnatal bleeding, prayer, zakat, fasting, and hajj. Also to teach the etiquettes of eating and drinking, clothing and adornments, the actions of fitra, who is mahram for her, the rulings for singing, pictures, and other rulings. The timetable should also include attendance at meetings and gatherings of the scholars and the known students of knowledge. So we're going to give some examples of men encouraging women to worship. It's related from Aisha, radiallahu anha, that when the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to pray at night, and when he prayed the witcher, he would say, stand and pray witcher, O Aisha. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, may Allah have mercy upon a man who stood at night and prayed, then he wakes up his wife, and she prayed. If she refused, he sprinkled water upon her face. So we should encourage the women in the house to give charity, to increase their faith, and this is a great thing, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged it. He would say, O woman, give charity as I saw that you are the majority in the fire. Also, we have to look at the education for the children. As for the children, it is important that you start them early in memorizing the Quran, learning the Islamic creed, supplications, etiquettes, and manners. Like what you say upon sneezing, when eating, sleeping, and going to the toilet, etc. So we should introduce them to the real Islamic stories, like the story of Prophet Nuh and the flood, Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the breaking of the idols. Musa, Yunus and the whale, and the story of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion. There is much good material available to assist us. The parents should teach them the Quran and the Arabic language together. They can also send them to a school where the Quran is taught and give them financial rewards for completion of each step in their program and encourage them as much as possible. You should also be careful who they mix with, as they can pick up bad manners and language from their surrounding company. As for their toys and games, you must be careful in selecting them so as not to avoid, as to avoid the law. Another thing you can do in your homes is to establish a library. An Islamic library should be set up in the home to aid in studying for the family, to widen their scope and understanding the religion and to help them to adhere to the Sharia ruling. It is not necessary that it must be like a public library, but have enough books to make it beneficial. It should be located in a place where the books are easily accessible, and you should encourage your family to read. The place for the books should be on the side of the room, which is clean and organized, whether it is in a bedroom, a dining room, living room, whatever. To perfect the library, and the law loves those who are thorough, is to have resources from different topics to benefit the children in their schools, to benefit the elders, both men and women, relatives, and guests. It is better to have books which are translated by reliable people and which have a good checking of narrations and a hadith. So we have a list here of books that, inshallah, I'll give Layla, and then she can send it out to everybody. But some of the topics are the Quran and its sciences, and there are books in there like An Introduction to the Quran by Shuhayb Hassan, Hadith and its Sciences. So you have Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Islamic Creed, like the Explanation of the Creed by Imam al-Barbahari, biography, books on the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the Sealed Nectar, books on the Muslim character, like Major Sins in Islam by Imam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, Purification of the Soul, compiled by Ahmed Farid, Islamic Law, like Fiqh Sunnah, and Bulugh al-Maram by Ibn Hajar. And then there are many other books that we should keep in our library. Like I said, I'll pass that information on to later, inshallah. And also, one thing we should also take into consideration is the ruling concerning papers that contain the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this question was posed to Sheikh Bin Dash. And the question is, we find some of the ayat of the Quran printed in newspapers or writings, as well as Bismillahirrahmanirrahim at the beginning of some papers and letters. What should we do with such ayat after we have finished reading the newspaper or letter? Should we tear it up, burn it, or what should be done? And this is the answer of the Sheikh. It is a must, after one has finished with the papers or pages that contain Allah's name, to safeguard the papers by burning them or burying them in clean soil. This is to protect the Quranic ayat and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being degraded. It is not allowed to throw them into the garbage, into the streets, or to use them as like tablecloths and things like that. Otherwise, one is degrading the names and the ayat and not safekeeping them. Another thing that we have to establish in our houses is the cassette library. The cassette player and recorder in every house can be used for a good or bad purpose. So we should try to use these devices for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this may be done by setting up a cassette library containing recordings of the scholars, the students of knowledge, and the good reciters. Listening to recitation tapes from some of the reciters can have a great effect upon the family, whether it's just listening, understanding the meaning, or being an aid to strengthen one's memorization of the Quran. And continuously listening to the Quran will discourage one from listening to the voices of shaitan, songs of corruption and disbelief. The ears and the hearts will be reformed if they hear mixed words from the Quran and from musical instruments. So there are many good tapes available teaching various subjects. Most importantly, new rulings can be easily heard and cassette by the scholars. So you have to be careful who you take your deen from. So you have to seek out reliable sources. Take from those who are known, like some of the names that are going to come from the book list, and also from, you know, listen, from people like Sheikh Ali and other sheikhs on the website. They have to be known for their taqwa, reliance upon authentic ahadith, and not sticking to a particular method. And they should cling to the method of a rightly guided predecessor. Next topic is inviting the righteous and the students of knowledge to visit your home. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nuh, ayah 28, My Lord, forgive me and my parents, and whoever enters my house, a believer, believing men and believing women, and do not increase the wrongdoers except in destruction. When the people of faith enter your home, it increases the light because of their presence. The carrier of musk will either lay down a good example, or you'll be influenced by him, and the children and the family can also benefit from listening to him. So it is important to associate with the right company, as the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, souls are truths collected together, and those who are familiar with each other before the beginning of the world will have affinity with one another in the world, and those amongst them who oppose each other would also be divergent in the world. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the example of a good companion in comparison with a bad one is like that of the musk seller and the blacksmith's bellows. From the first, you will either buy musk or enjoy its good smell, while the bellows will either burn your clothes or your house, or you will get a bad, nasty smell from it. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, a believer who recites the Quran is like a citron whose fragrance is sweet and whose taste is sweet. A believer who does not recite the Quran is like a date which has no fragrance but has a sweet taste. A person who recites the Quran well is like a basil whose fragrance is sweet but whose taste is bitter. And the person who does not recite the Quran is like, how can you pronounce it? Which leaves a bitter taste and has no fragrance. A good companion is like a man who has musk. Even if nothing of it goes to you, its fragrance will reach you. A bad companion is like a man who has bellows. If its black soot does not reach you, its smoke will reach you. So you should be very careful about who you invite into your home. It is related that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was once passing through one of the graveyards of Medina or Mecca and heard the voices of two persons who were being tortured in their graves. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, these two persons are being tortured and not for a major sin. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then added, yes, they are being tortured for a major sin. Indeed, one of them never saved himself from being soiled with his urine, while the other used to go about making enmity between people. Indeed, choosing righteous friends from amongst the God-fearing is from the methodology of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So friends from the religion of Islam are sufficient, as the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Abu Bakr has favored me much with his property and company. If I were to take a Khalil from mankind, I would certainly take Abu Bakr. But the Islamic brotherhood and friendship is sufficient. Close all the gates in the mosque except that of Abu Bakr. So one should pray to Allah that he gives him a friend from amongst the righteous, as Alqamah did when he said, I went to Asham and offered 2 rakat, and then said, O Allah, bless me with a good, pious companion. Then I went to some people and sat with them. An old man came and sat by my side. I asked, who is he? They replied, Abu Darda. I said to him, I prayed to Allah to bless me with a pious companion, and he sent you too. He asked me, from where are you? I replied, from the people of Al-Kufa. Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, was amongst the greatest companions of the Messenger of Allah. We should all pray to Allah that gives some friends from the people of knowledge and nahdi, as well as piety, good manners, and righteousness. Like Abu Hurairah. It was related from Khathamah bin Abu Sabra, who said, I came to Al-Madinah and asked Allah to grant me a good companion to sit with, and he granted me Abu Hurairah. Chapter, what is recommended for those who accept an invitation? 2 things are recommended for those who attend a function which they are invited. First, he should make dua for his host after he has finished eating, using one of the prayers which has been recorded from the Prophet, and there are many of them. On the authority of Abdullah bin Bisra, his father prepared food for the Prophet and invited him. The Prophet responded and attended, and when he finished eating, he said, O Allah, forgive them, have mercy on them, and bless them in that which you have granted them. On the authority of Miqdad bin Aswad, he said, I came with two of my friends to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Al-Madinah. We became hungry and requested help from some people, but no one took us as guests. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took us to his house, and there he had four goats. The Prophet said to me, O Miqdad, divide the milk between us into fours. So I divided the milk into fours. Each of us would drink his share, and we would send the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam share to him. One night, the Prophet was detained outside. I began thinking to myself that maybe the Prophet had gone to some of the Ansar and had eaten until satisfied and drank until his thirst was quenched. So why should I not drink his share? This went on, and profoundly I got up and drank his share. Then I covered the glass. When I had finished, I was overtaken by what I had done, thinking to myself, now the Prophet will come hungry and find nothing waiting for him. So I covered myself with a blanket of wool. When I pulled the blanket over my head, my feet were chewed. And when I covered my feet, my head was uncovered. I could not go to sleep, and I kept thinking of things to myself. As for my two companions, they were fast asleep. I was still in this state when the Prophet entered. He offered the greeting of salam in a voice that only a person who was awake could hear, but which would not wake a sleeping person. After that, he went to the masjid and prayed. Then he came to the glass and uncovered it and found nothing in it. He said, O Allah, feed the one who feeds me and give drink to the one who gives me drink. Decided to seize the opportunity of this dua of the Prophet, I took my blanket and wrapped it around my waist and took a large knife and went to the goats. I began inspecting them with my hands to find the fattest one so that I could slaughter it for Allah's messenger. But every time my hands passed over the teeth, I noticed that they were full of milk. I got a container belonging to the household of Muhammad, which they had never imagined could be filled with milk, and began milking the goats until it was full. Then I brought it to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said to me, Did you not drink your milk this night, O Miqdad? What has happened? I replied, Drink, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet lifted his head and said, Some shame of yours, O Miqdad. What has happened? I said, Drink first, then the news. The Prophet drank until his thirst was quenched, and then he gave me the glass, and I too drank. When I knew that the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had quenched his thirst, and that his dua had become applicable to me, I began laughing until I fell on the ground with laughter. The Prophet said, What is it? So I explained the whole story to him. Then he said, And this is the unexpected milk, which is a blessing from heaven. Why didn't you tell me so that we could have given your companion some? I said, I swear by the one who sent you with the truth, as long as the blessing has come to you and me, I am not concerned with those whom it has missed. On the authority of Anas and others, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to visit the Ansar, and whenever he came to their houses, their children used to gather around him. He would pray for them, rub their heads, and greet them. One day he came to the door of Sa'd ibn Ubaidah and sought permission to enter, saying, Assalamu alaikum. Sa'd replied, Wa alaikum assalam, but in a voice which the Prophet could not hear. This happened in the same way three times. The Prophet never used to seek permission to enter more than three times, after which, if he was not given permission, he would leave. Sa'd followed him and said, O Allah's Messenger, may my father and mother be your ransom. Every time you gave salam, I gave you permission, but I did not allow you to hear it because I love to receive more greetings and blessings from you. So come in, O Messenger of Allah. He took him into the house and gave him some raisins to eat. The Prophet ate, and when he finished, he said, May the righteous eat your food. May the angels send their prayers upon you. And may the fasting ones break fast in your house. I would like to add a very important note, and that is to sleep early in order to wake up on time for the morning prayer. How many times does a Muslim visit each other and end up talking for hours on useless and unimportant issues? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us to talk after Isha for this reason, except if it is for some real religious benefit. So when you're on the website, into the wee hours of the morning, that's not part of typing up. And then start to barakat ta'ala, we're going to stop here. Subhanallah wa hamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Amen.